Gum Havamahe Kavinkavinam Upamashravastamam Jyeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrinvandu Tibhisita Satanam Om Shri Maha Ganapataye Namaha Sada Shiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Pariyantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankara Vavahai Tejasvina Vadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Sit yourself comfortably and still. The vichara that we do when we do nididhyasanam, it's not something you can do technically. On the other hand, some of the preparation can have some technical aspect to it, or more than technical aspect, a habitual thing. Habitually, I find my comfortable seat. I'm still. Of course, I have to be attentive, but since I've done it over time, the habit kicks in. Yes, now I can be still. I can't just rely on the habit, but the fact that it's been done regularly over time, then it creates a good base. Yes, now I can pay attention to this. But the paying attention can't be technical or mechanical. Then it's not really paying attention. Let yourself relax. Breathing deeply, gathering my attention. So as the teachings of Vedanta point out, primarily and by nature, I'm an awareful being, or the awareful being. And the issue is just that I confuse this with other ideas. And because I confuse this, I think that this awareful being is limited, is changing. So one very useful meditation for this is the space meditation. I meditate on Chidakasha, the space-like awareness that I am. So I take myself to be the awareness, which is like the space. this is really closer to my nature than the ideas that I take myself to be the body or the mind. So now, the body, I can feel it. You feel the sensations. It's not that my awareness is in the body, but the body is within the awareness. Right? This is so, since I'm aware of the sensations of the body, I'm aware of areas where there's no sensation, and I'm aware beyond the sensations of the body. If the sensations were to go away, I wouldn't feel the body. Still, I'm the same awareness. Then I take the mind. I'm aware of the mind, meaning I'm aware of the thoughts. I'm aware of the feelings. I'm aware of the state of the mind. Right? I'm aware in and through the mind, but not limited to it. When the mind is quiet, I'm still the same awareness. On the space like awareness, anything I experience appears within the space, not affecting it. I also hear, meaning within the awareness, the hearing appears, comes and goes within the awareness. I see, meaning within the awareness, the experience of seeing appears. Right? The awareness is in and through the seeing, but not limited to it, beyond it. And there's the primordial idea, I'm only this much. Some idea, I'm only so much, not more than that. Idea of separation or limitation. That idea also is within the awareness. No, but I only know so much. when I try to see beyond, it's just darkness, there's nothing, meaning there is some ignorance. Well, that ignorance, how do I know it's there? It's within the awareness. So anything experienced is within the awareness. It's not that I will experience the awareness, which is space like an unlimited. I try to experience it, meaning I'm trying to build some wall. It's this much. But anything that is experienced is not the space of awareness, space like awareness. But I know I'm not limited, since anything that is experienced appears within the awareness. Within the space like awareness, the Chidakasha. So the moment there's something limited, it doesn't limit me, the awareness. Just drop all notions of limitation on the unlimited. Sargastiti pralaya hetu machintya shaktim Vishveshwaram vidita vishwamanantamurtim Nirmukta bandhanam apara sukhamburashim Shri Vallabham vimalabodhaganam namami. So, one important point in study is, as we know, we have Sharavanam, Mananam, Vidhyasanam. So, Sharavanam we have every week like this in the class. And then what happens is, what's being discussed, this is the food for Mananam. It's like, I go to the farmer's market on Sunday, I get the vegetables, I put in the fridge. Now, if I don't chop them and cook them and chew them and everything, then they're just going to stay in the fridge and they'll go back, you know, they'll just sit there like this. Actually, what happens is when I'm home alone, then some do sit there because I get just a little bit and just one person, how much you already eat. So unfortunately, that happens some of the time, but I do my best not to waste them like this. But in any case, so what happens is some points are given and then those points I have to reflect on. Like this, otherwise it stays there. Like for instance, and actually in here, as we've been going verse by verse, very interestingly, some main point is brought up. Like last week, talked about that the mind, the body, are jadam, they're insentient. Only the consciousness is sentient. This is the main point that it gave. And then some details about why it is, like the moon reflects the light, doesn't have its own light like the sun. Same, the body, the mind, the reflecting of consciousness. Some points like this are given. So these have to be taken, and then somebody has to look at them. Because otherwise, it just stays, if I just look at it for an hour a week like this, hour, 15 minutes, and then leave it then what? Like this. Because what can the mind do? It can think of the worldly things, or it can think of this. Or it can do preparatory things, right? It can do some other things that are preparatory it could do. But most of the time, it's occupied with the worldly things. That's in our life. Definitely, it's like this because we're working, most of us, we're household, taking care of things. So that's what most of the time we're dealing with. And that's natural. That's how it is. But the thing is, I have to put the mind into this, put it to use for this. So really, I have to take these things. That's why, you know, if you write at least a few main points and then take time, think about them. And actually, that's your mananam, you think about it, you bring your attention. You try to do nididhyasana, meditate on, like in the class we point out. Nididhyasanam again, interestingly, is, I also didn't understand so much nididhyasana. Bring the points to your mind and see them from there. And I understood, nobody told me, if I'm incorrect, you know, somebody here is correct me, but I see it as, you try to see it from that angle. Right? I see from angle of Sakshi instead of angle of body-mind. At least that's how I see it. At least that's one way of nididhyasana. And then, so those points are just brought up like this. They're brought up like this and you sit and look at it from that angle. Nididhyasana isn't mananam. Nididhyasana, mananam, you're thinking about churning. Something's unclear, you think about it to clarify this thing. And there might be a question, that's why you come and ask afterwards. And actually, unless somebody does some mananam, there won't be deeper questions won't come up. Because you have to really look into something in the end. It's like somebody learns a little theory in science, a little thing, then they have to do some of the experiments, and then they can come, they have to, or do their own calculation of it, then they come and say, oh, you know, there was this thing didn't work, why is it like that? You know, without it, just, I have a little bit of information I'm trying to ask about. So deeper questions come from mananam, they will come like this. So in this way, one has to take time and look into it. And then, you know, you really will look further. And then it's also my own interest to do it. Because it's true at the beginning, okay, how do I think about everything? But especially we come for some time, so just taking the points and thinking about them and seeing from that angle. And actually, the mananam, the reason for it is said is to clear doubts. Because Shravanam gives all the pointers. If the picture isn't complete, it could be two reasons. One reason is the person teaching has not made it clear enough. That's one reason. Second reason can be that I just haven't understood properly some things I didn't understand like this. Those two can be. Could also be, you know, some more explanation needed. Because it takes time for these things to sink in, there's no doubt. But the thing is, the more I'm involved like this, the more it'll happen. Like before, talked about mind is mind-body jadam, insentient. Only the consciousness is light of awareness. This is the ascendancy. Then before that, it discussed how in the presence of the awareness that things happen. Because earlier, before that, it said, talked about akartritvam, non-doership. You're not the doer. So it talked about that. How come the awareness is not the doer? And then after that, I talked about in the presence of the awareness that the actions happen like this. Not that it's not doing anything, just like the sun isn't doing anything. It doesn't do anything, its nature is to shine. It's nature, it's not doing something. But you say, hey, it's waking me up in the morning. It's waking everybody up. So it's causing the activity of the world. Yes? You can say the sun, without the sun, the activity wouldn't happen, but it's not doing anything. Right? We're getting up, we're doing the things. So in this way, in its presence. So that was what we discussed earlier. So each one of these I have to look at because they're each one or so are some pointers about ourselves, about our nature. and then gives very wonderful points, this text. Like each verse is taking one other point and really discussing it, and then we expound on it in the class, and then you take time to reflect on it. Really like this. So then you'll get a lot more out of what we're studying. Okay. So last week we had, as we said, the body, the mind are insentient, only the consciousness is the sentiency. Let's see what will be discussed today. We're in verse 21. Yeah. Agaman me mano nyatra sampraptam cha sthiri krutam sampraptam cha sthiri krutam evam yo veti dhivrittim This sohamityavadharaya, end of each verse we've been seeing for a long time, so that should be easy. I am that, you have to look into it, you know, you have to know this, right? Ascertain it. My mind went elsewhere, now it has been brought back to rest. The one who knows the transactions of the mind, that is I, thus ascertain. So here now pointing out a pointer to why I'm not the mind. A very useful pointer the text is giving us. I'm here, right? I came to do the meditation. We're sitting in the meditation and then I notice, you know, I'm sitting and I have some other project I'm busy with. So I'm sitting here where my mind has gone to that project, right? It's wandering around. Then after it winds around some time, then I notice, oh, my mind is wandering, right? Say, oh, you were saying something I didn't notice because my mind was elsewhere. Then now I've come back, now I'm present. My mind is present, I'm fully aware present. Meaning I'm aware the mind is present. So how come I know the mind went and how come I know the mind came back? Right? Meaning that I'm observing the mind. If I was the mind, how would I know that? Right? Like the sun. You say the sun is shining. So some people go and they worship the sun and they tell the sun, oh sun, you're so wonderful, you're so bright, there's no darkness in your presence. The sun will say, what do you mean by darkness? What's light? What do you mean by that? Right? Like this. No, darkness is absence of light, but what's light? It's not going to know. Like, what is it to be not to be unaware? I don't mean unaware as the mind, and not to be knowingness. What is it not to exist and not to know? Tell me. Not to know, again, not to know a specific thing, but to be aware. No, when I was asleep in this, well, how do you know you were asleep? Well, you knew you were asleep, so you're aware. You're aware of not knowing. So then we don't know what it... If I was the mind, then I would be going along with it. I wouldn't know the mind did that. So the fact I know means that I'm not the mind. So this is this pointer, which is very helpful for us, that it points out like this. Okay. Now what happens is there's a confusion, of course. The mind moves so that I think it's the I am moving, right? Because I identify with it, right? Something happens outside, like right now I planted some plants in the garden. Now what happens, the identity, I can identify with it, and a squirrel can come and dig it up, and then I'll go and I'll be all upset what happened. Oh, I'll be upset because I'm identifying with it, right? I say it's my garden, the squirrel says it's his or her garden, who's right? Right, I'll take the squirrel to court, right? Can I do that? So in this way, it's an idea, right? So I say mine. So I say mine here too. It's just an identity. Is that mine? No, it's an idea. It's an identification. So yeah, it's an identification. So there's this story that when Lord Ram, when he was Lord Rama, people say Ram, but the thing is, since I've heard Swami Tathirananji for some years, when I say Ram, I feel that I'm getting a little bit of hit on the head because he's a great Sanskrit scholar. So he says, it's Rama. There's no such thing as Ram. Ramaha. Lord Ramaha. So what happens is, when he's small toddler, then you know he's the prince. The servant has, even though he's a child, then he has to, you know, the servants have to do what he likes. So what happens is he sees the moon in the sky, right? Like Hanumanji, right? But he says, I want that. Hanumanji was simple, lived in a simple place, so he's going to jump and try to get it himself. You're the prince, you say, hey, I want that. So he wants the moon. So the servants don't know what to do. How are they going to, you know, he's crying, I want the moon, you have to bring it to me. So what happens is they don't know what to do, so they ask one of the advisors, the older one. He says, okay, don't worry, I'll take care of it. He brings a big bowl of water and puts it there. He says, I brought the moon for you. Really? Yeah, look at the bowl. Oh, he sees it reflected in the water, right? So he goes and tries to grab it, and then suddenly it's gone, and there's just, you know, it's all moving. It looks like he's crying because the moon broke. He says, don't worry. The moon didn't break. Give it just a few moments. Be patient. After a little while, it comes back. It's there. Oh, there it is. Okay. So what happens is once the water started moving, what happened to the moon? Now the moon is moving. Right? Now, did the moon move really? It didn't move. Just the reflection is moving. So an illustration they give, you take a pot and fill it half with water, right? That's us. The pot, this is the pot, right? The body. There's a pot maker that makes the pot, so one pot maker made this pot. The water inside there is your mind. Then the sun comes and reflects in it, right? So then the reflection is there. The same one is reflected in all of them, so the reflection is different, but the what is being reflected, it's the same one, it's not different. But the thing here about the one reflected in all, that's not what's being pointed out here. But what is being pointed out here is the fact that the mood, the change is in the water there, here in the mind, not in the consciousness, like this. So here, just this point is enough to reflect on how much you can reflect on this point. So much, right? As my mind is doing things, it's moving, but I'm aware of the movement, that I'm caught up, I forgot it. Then afterwards, I noticed after some time, oh, for so long I wasn't aware that I was caught up in it. Yeah, but if I trace back, I can see the mind moved, did many things, but I was aware of the same thing. Swami Premananji, he once gave an exercise. If he gives that, some of the exercises he gave are going to be very, you know, you need a lot to do it. He said like this, you're sitting meditating, and then your mind wandered this. Then you noticed. Now you backtrack. It went many things, one after the other. You backtrack where it's now. You backtrack the previous step, till you come back to where it started wandering. How much attention you have to do for this? Not easy. I've tried. It's really not easy. It's one exercise. Not that you have to do that, but that would make teachers be so alert because then you backtrack. Now, that exercise wasn't specifically for this, but then if you backtrack, you notice, yes, I saw the mind went through all these steps, meaning I was aware of the mind. I wasn't the mind, otherwise how would I know I went through these steps like this? Okay. So this is what's being pointed out, very, very helpful point. Okay. Now one thing is this, is there's so many things that I identify with. I define myself as that. I define myself as belonging to this political party, belonging to this religion, having these ideas, right? Having these values, so many things I have. Now, yes, some of them I can look at and tackle them and say, yes, okay, religion. Yes, by chance, I was born a certain religion. That's what I was taught. If I was taught different, I'd identify with that. It's a bunch of ideas in my mind. Nothing wrong with it. It can be very useful, very good too, right? But the thing is, I see it's just a conditioning, and it's not me, because intrinsically, what am I? What am I that the whole religious thing is a whole bunch of ideas or experiences? But what am I there? It's really ideas. So am I those ideas? No. So this way I can look at certain ones and help to dismantle. But to take every idea and dismantle is not going to be possible, right? Like imagine the creator, time to dismantle the world. We'll go and take each part, each particle, and take, you know, take it, crumble it, and put it in his pocket, right? It would be impossible to do it. So instead, when you are sakshi, you're the awareness as being sakshi, then you're tackling everything. You're helping to knock the whole thing out, you know, take the whole rug out from everywhere. There's actually a story in Chandi, the Devi Mahatmya, which some of the stories in Puranas like this are hard. Some of them are easy to give the idea where it came from. Some of them you have to make some assumptions, or probably there are people who wrote commentaries. But this could be this sakshi like this, or it could be the space-like awareness, which is similar to sakshi. What happens is there's one demon, right, called the Rakta Bija. And the Rakta Bija, meaning the blood seeds, his blood is or seeds. So meaning that whenever the mother is fighting with Rakta Bija, when she cuts him, like even cuts off his head, all these horrible things. every drop of blood that falls on the ground, an exact copy comes up, clone copy comes up. So cuts off the head, you know, 50 drops fall on the ground, now 50 Rakta Bijas are there. So whatever it does, doesn't help. It's like my desires, my attachments, they just keep multiplying. I fulfill one desire, from that 5 desires are born. Like this, so it keeps going. So what she does, she comes as Kali, and as Kali, what happens, she spreads her tongue on the earth, and then when the head is cut, all the blood falls on the tongue, not on the earth, and she swallows Rakta Bijas. So again, okay, like Mahishasura, okay, he kills the buffalo is ego, okay, slaughtering ego here, okay. Here, we can maybe take it as sakshi, because sakshi will swallow all of it. Because whatever comes up, I'm sakshi of it, so I'm not that. Right? Anything that comes up, happy thought comes, peaceful thought, anger comes up, pain in the body, whatever comes up, like in our meditation exactly, it comes and goes within the awareness. Awareness stays the same, not touched by it. Within the light of awareness, it appears and it disappears. So I'm the awareness. Why am I that changing one? Because I'm still here, that came and went, I'm still the same one. So how can I be that? So sakshi then, this way everything is gone like this. And what happens, what brings us to look into this is another interesting thing, is I'm going along through my life or lifetimes and going on, and things are pretty nice, enjoyable in this. But then, of course, after some time, all that I'm holding on to actually starts, it's limiting me, it's pulling me down eventually. The Mahatmas will see that they don't want to identify with anything. They see identify with anything, it's going to cause trouble. It's going to pull them down because they see it clearly. But what happens is then we're unable to let go. And what happens, they say like this, we're in this world, so I hold on to certain things for identification. That's what I do. I have no identification. Oh, it's very nice for a little while meditation, but then afterwards I need to hold on to something, right? Like this. You try. I love to do this. You try, spend some time. Now, there's no next nothing. You don't not identify anything, there's nothing next. You just are. The mind gets baffled with no next thing. Right? Okay, what's next? After a little while, the mind is going to start struggling. It wants something. Some agenda, something. So in this way. So if we can just do that, I know, then there's nothing. No problem, anything. No, but what will happen to me later? oh, like this. So it's a nice exercise, you try a little bit, but then I want to hold on to. So I hold on to things in the world, gives me my security. So what happens is, you say there's a river you want to cross, so you're holding on to the log, right? You're holding on and going, so, and then you feel very safe from it. But then after some time, you notice this log isn't the log. Who lives in the water? It's the crocodile. And now you want to let go of it, but you can't because the crocodile is holding on to you. So look, all of us have certain habits that I say, okay, I wish I wanted to let go of this. And we wanted to let go of it for some time now. So I really want to let go of it. Because before it gave me some meaning or security or something like this. But now, okay, it's actually getting in my way. Maybe I'm lazy about certain things. Maybe I get impatient. Maybe I get angry at some things. Could be so much. So many different things. But now I'm not managing to let go. It's holding on to me. Now the crocodile's held on to you. Samsara then holds on to me. So I hold on to things in samsara. Then I see actually because that now I'm being held on to. So this will help to loosen this. And the crocodile, all these, somehow the stories are getting connected, like links. So the story of Gajendra, the elephant, where the Lord Vishnu comes and kills the crocodile, right? How he kills the crocodile with his discus. What is the discus called? Sudarshana. Sudarshana, right? Viveka. So you have, people just leave it as, Lord Vishnu is there, has the Sudarshana chakra. They leave it there and just worship that. What is the Sudarshana? Oh, no, it's this thing. And they also have stories, mythology about all these things. But what is it? So Sudarshana means clear vision, means Viveka. Means, okay, I look at it closely and I see what's changing. It also symbolizes he's controlling time. How controlling time? Meaning because Sudarshana, it's the time moves, but I'm not moving, so I'm not bound by time, so I'm controlling time. So the change is there, but I have clear vision that I'm not the change, like this. So the mind is changed, but I'm not that change of the mind, okay? So this is what happens. Now, what happens is, so I have so many ideas, and all those are just ideas. Right? If something is an idea and I just keep it as an idea, that's fine. No problem. Right? But when I take the idea of something solid and real, then that's already an illusion. That's some sort of delusion, right? Brahma, we say Brahma, it's a delusion. Because, you know, because I take that to be something where it's an idea, right? Think of that, and just think of religion. I belong to this religion. What does that mean? Yes, I have some ideas, and there, some of them are habits. Some of them give me community or security, sense of identity. Some of it helps to uplift me in a certain way, like this. But then what is it really? It's ideas, right? Thoughts. Then I belong to this religion. Oh, you don't belong to this religion. Yeah, that might be okay. Your religion might be okay, but I'm not so sure, not like mine. That one's that religion, that one, I'm not so sure. Like this. And what is it? And actually, the funny thing about it is, in the end, the whole thing is in your mind. So externally, maybe I'm doing similar to you because we're in the same group. Somebody else is doing differently, but our internal ideas are closer, but I don't know that, so I don't like that one, but I like this one. Where actually, this is a point Swami Tatviramanji brought up. He said that somehow, Vedanta, since Vedanta coming from the same place all these other Hindu things, somehow it's having handshake connect to a lot of the Karmakanda, a lot of the Hindu things in this. And Buddhism is this something else. Certain parts of Buddhism. Certain parts of Buddhism are so much closer to Vedanta, actually, the ideas. So much closer. And oh, that's Buddhism, but we're Hindu. So all these, it's ideas in the end. Again, there's one thing with a lot of these things that we talk about, which one important point, which is called Nahin Ninda Nyaya. Nyaya, how would we even say it? This is a, you know, maybe somebody else has an explanation. Nyaya, a fat way to look. It's a an aphorism, if you want. I'll find out a better explanation, so I don't have an essay, but a way to look at it, to understand. So Nahin Nindan Nyaya is pointing out, look, Nahin Nindan Nyaya, it's not for denigrating something, right? But Nahin Nindan Nyaya, meaning Stutyartam, it's for looking at the positive of something else, right? So the thing is, when talking like this about religion, not to say anything bad about religion, but in order to understand what the vision of Vedanta is pointing out. So it's not to put anybody down in any way. There's no need to do that. Self-inquire, look into myself, right? But the thing is, I'm caught up in other things, so I understand their trappings. I understand where they pull away from for that. But the thing in itself is not in order to look down at anything. It's not for that purpose at all. So that's an important thing like this, because some of the time things are looked at like this, or even in very harsh ways sometimes, and help to give vairagya, not in order to think of something in a negative way. Okay, this is the important thing like this. So in any case, so that's what it is. So all these ideas that I have, they're ideas, and I take them as something solid. But then when I really look at it, it is an idea, it's not the thing in itself, it can't be like this. The idea also will come and go, my ideas will change. Okay, so in this way. So most of the arguments and the problems, human problems, of social, political problems, are all just because we take ideas reality. Right? My ideas are clashing with your ideas, so now, like this. Most things will be like this. So this is something. And then by losing them, by loosening them, then so much of my frustration, anger, fear, all these things will go with it, right? Because I hold on to. Now, some things can be useful at a certain point, right? They're useful, but then afterwards have to go further in this way, right? The child, right? The child will get to the habit, hold on to mother's hand when crossing the street, right? Certain things like this, but then eventually those have to be dropped. So certain things I can do, they help me to step forwards, but then eventually I also have to drop and move forwards like this. So that's where certain identifications are helpful for growth, but then that's a stepping stone. It's not the end in itself, okay? Because there's still ideas like this, so that's an important thing. One nice point that's also brought up is like this, that, again, the symbolism. They say, third eye of Shiva, right? Shiva's third eye. What do you mean by that? Well, you have these two eyes, right? But then you also have the awareness. I'm aware. Awareness is, it's actually, I like to say, it's the first one. This is the second. These are the second, third. The first, you're first aware. Then you see. Without awareness, these won't be there. And so as Sakshi, you know, then you can say, if you really Sakshi, then you can say Shivoham, because then you know that you're not this limited stuff, you're not the limited observer, that the seeing appears within the awareness, because I take it again, I'm seeing everything, I'm sitting here and I'm seeing, because I'm identifying with the body, the mind, all this body, so I'm here and that's there. But really, I'm just aware within the awareness, seeing appears, right? I'm aware in and through the seeing, but then the mind is separating. There's something there, I'm here, I'm the one here seeing that. But it's just seeing, I'm aware of seeing, so seeing is within the awareness, right? So where I'm not limited by it, it appears, it doesn't appear, I'm still there, the same one. So this is how we look into it, that, you know, really then, you know, then somebody says, how can you say you're Shiva? I'm worshipping Lord Shiva. I'm doing it for decades. We're doing generations. My family, that's Lord Shiva. How do you say like this? How do you know? Do you experience Shiva? Yes, whenever I do puja and this, I experience Shiva's there. You experience Shiva, yes. Meaning that your Shiva is dependent on you. You're aware of it. Just like my seeing is dependent on me, my inner feeling dependent on me, you experience Shiva, that Shiva, your experiencing depends on you. Right? There's some Hindi song, or Hindi or similar dialect, that might be Kabir's, because fortunately I didn't grow up with these things or these languages, so a lot of these I hear and I can understand some, but people grow up with, well, I appreciate a lot more, that says that there's no God without a devotee. Somebody might know that, yeah. Something like this. Because you're worshipping Shiva, so how would there that be the God if there wasn't the devotee, that specific God? The God itself, but there, you know. But a God to be worshipped, the moment you have to be worshipped, for it to be, there has to be somebody who's devotee aware of. Otherwise, how is that? So that person says, yes, you're worshipping Shiva, but you're aware within the awareness the idea of Shiva's there, the whatever experience. But then the awareness itself is there throughout, that whatever idea, experience you have of Shiva will come and go. So which one is the permanent one? The awareness which you are, or the idea or experience of what you think is Shiva? Like this. So this is now what happens is somebody has a strong attachment to devotion, but will have to be tinged with some sort of attachment to this specific date or this specific thing, they'll say this is sacrilege. Sacrilegious. How can you say like this, right? Blasphemy. If I say, I, this individual, yes, then I, this individual, greater than that, yeah. We're not saying greater, but I, the individual, but we're not saying I, the individual. The idea of the individual is also within the awareness, right? The whole idea, it's an idea there, like this. It's not something that is, that's the idea of him. This is the karana sharira, the idea of some limitation, idea that I'm not the totality, the start of it, the seed of it, like this. But the thing is that also, it's an idea. For you to have the avidya, you have to be conscious. You have to be a conscious being. How can an unconscious being have ignorance? You have to be a awareful being to have ignorance there. So in the light of awareness, I know that I'm ignorant of something, or I'm ignorant of who I am, like this. So these are important points about that. Okay. So one nice illustration about this would also be like this, that you have, my ideas are, some of my ideas are very solid. So solid is a solid material like ice. And as Sakshi, as you keep just the observer, slowly, slowly it will soften up, it'll loosen up, it'll melt, eventually becomes liquid, right? Liquid, it's not binding as much, flows easier like this. And then if I continued being Sakshi, then what happens, like in the light of the sun, it'll become vapor. Where does the vapor go? Like formless, it's everywhere. So then it, as good as disintegrates, you know, okay, vapor is there, but it's not getting into your way or anything in this way. So this is what happens as we keep looking into it. So that's why important for me to keep looking into it, be Sakshi, because if I'm not Sakshi, then I am this person who likes this, who does that in this way. So that's why I have to keep learning how to be the observer, the Sakshi. Sakshi is more than just the observer, the awareness in which things happen, but you start, in which things appear, but you start as observer because that's what I know. I'm observing the mind. But then, you know, not too hard, but a little bit, just a little bit looking into, yes, as awareness, I'm space like awareness, things appear within the awareness. At least I can some of the time look at it like that. And then that is actually more what really our experience is like. If you remember the three filters, the third one was anubhava. Anubhava, that it doesn't contradict my experience. And that doesn't contradict my experience. It's an idea, it's a model. I created a model. I'm the one here looking at everything. Right? It's a model. We're really but this is also a model, but this model is closer to what is a much more useful model for us. and closer to really what is my pure experience, as I'm aware, within the awareness, the things appear. The things appear within the awareness in this way. Okay, so that's where this is very useful. Okay. See if there's some other important... Yeah, there is some other important point here also. So these pointers are brought up, right? Pointers are brought up. The Shastra can point them out, the Upanishad. Guru can come and point out, okay, these things, like this. But then what happens is, okay, it's pointed out. Very similar to what we talked at the beginning. But then what? Then, you know, okay, I'm the space-like awareness now. I have to look into that. I have to show it to myself in the end. Nobody can show to you, you know, Shastra Guru can point it out, but then I have to look into it. So in the end, the Guru has to be, I have to become the Guru, right? Because the thing is, the inner Guru has to be there. External one, yes, very much needed to point these things out. Without it, it's very unlikely to get to these things, that's for sure. But then it has to, you know, has to eventually be within me, because again, nobody can show you yourself, because you can't you can't see, or you can't be aware of yourself. You are yourself, so nobody can point it out to you. Can just point out some things, but I have to look. Even if the person's showing, pointing, look there, like the new moon and the tree showing the branches that we've talked about in the past. You have to follow it, and you have to look there. So these things, these teachings give these nice pointers, but then I have to look. So that's where, yeah, Guru is there, but then Guru has to be internalized. I'm, in the end, the Guru is Atma. You're the awareful being of, is the ultimate Guru. Because there's only that eventually, but then I have to follow those, you know, those footsteps like this. So this is how it works. So no matter, you can have the most brilliant teachers here, all the greatest things, and have all the, you know, points and everything, but unless I, you know, I look at it from there, I become the Guru, meaning, not I am now my Guru, I'm not like that, you know, but that I follow and look at those things so that I go deeper and I find what is real, really the Guru, the consciousness itself, eventually, then I have to do that. So this is important point with it, okay? Mm-hmm. And one other thing, again, one other reason why we say the space-like awareness, okay? The space-like awareness, because the space doesn't get contaminated by anything, right? The earth gets contaminated, right? We have a lot of contamination of this. The water, right? Very unfortunate things. Look, holy rivers in India, and look at them, right? Healthier to take bath in our rivers here in the US, right? Because of the contamination of it, like this. No, but that's not the holy river. Well, because my mind is saying that's holy and that's not, right? Why? So, but contamination there, contamination in the air, right? The air also. Some cities in the world, you know, you want to wear a mask, you don't want to go outside certain times. But then what about the space? Can you contaminate the space? Right? There can be objects in the space, you know, but the thing is the space itself doesn't get touched by it, those objects. Because let's say there's an object in the space that's getting in the way. You're driving in the space, and then there's some object in a way, it's contaminated. It's like earth, it's material or liquid. It's not space. Space is space. Space doesn't get touched by it. It's untouched. So that's the other reason the awareness, space-like awareness, because it remains untouched, like uncontaminated. Everything else can get contaminated. Like the body, the mind, all these things. That's why body is cleaned every day like this. This is the kriyas we're starting to do in some kriyas in the yoga class. Then it cleanses very well, But also, you do them and you see no matter how much you clean, the body can be so clean inside in this, but next day, you have to clean it again. That's so much work. And the mind, very important to keep clean too. Because the mind, you know, we have to scrub it regularly because the stuff will build up in there and it causes that I suffer from it first. Others will suffer from it too, but I'm the first one that suffers from my own mind. Like this, like one thing I like to think of, there's somebody, let's say, that you have to see regularly. Some neighbor or somebody at work that regularly you have to interact with, that there's something in their character that is disturbing, right? Disturbing to you at least. Then you can think of when you're thinking, oh, why do I have to deal with this, everything? You feel pity for them because you just want a little bit here and there, you have to deal with them. They have to deal with their mind all the time. So very important, cleaning the mind like this, because also, but again, those, no matter how much you do, there's some impurity there. There's no, because it's something changing. It's not possible that it doesn't have anything like this, but the conscious itself, that one can't, that one isn't. And the thing is, because this is what the consciousness is, the impersonal awareness, it means that any other identification I take on is pulling away from this vision of the reality, right? Pulls away, then I'm not identifying as that. So I have to be Sakshi, and then. Now what happens is, again, earlier steps can be done. Earlier steps useful as preparatory, like Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, I don't say I'm not karta, I'm not doer, I'm doing. Result isn't mine. Result is in God's hands, not mine. Yeah, so then I'm doer. So certain preliminary things are done there as stepping stones, which can be useful, very useful. But the thing is, when we're looking into this, into Vedantic thing, that I can't take that. So much so, right, in the Nirvana Shatkam of Adi Guru Shankaracharya, right, Rama, we send out the Rama. Now some people say, Shatakam. But then it's also, it's Shat, senses of Shatakam. Whatever you do, you'll get caught. Any Sanskrit person listening when I teach, they're going to find so many mistakes, as I know a little, and that's it. So at least that's not the essence. My forgiveness, anything I do wrong with that, but it's not, it's a tool, it's not the essence. So. But Nirvana Shatakam, there Adi Guru Shankara, he says, I'm not this, not this, not this. He says, na gurur na shishya. I'm not guru, I'm not this, the disciple. Because that is also an identification. It can be useful for something sometime, but something one has to be very careful, very preliminary. Because as disciple, yes, I can say this. It helps me because now I have some identification, not the worldly thing. But then slowly, slowly it has to be, I'm the student, I'm a Jigyasu, I want to learn the truth. Yes, I'm learning that in this way. And yes, maybe there's certain, you know, teacher or place I'm learning this because, yes, I have to focus on place, a good one like that. But then some of the teachers that I know, they're very careful that they don't say I'm guru and don't say there's disciples and ones who are status of guru, that really know, have great knowledge because otherwise just an identification, right? They go sit, give the class, or explain something this. Somebody asks questions. Yes, they do because they're doing the role. But then afterwards, that role, if they identify the role, then what? Like this. So that's something that we have to really observe the things I identify with and understand that what I identify with, that pulls away from this. Pulls away because that's some temporary identification. It's not I, the awareness. And it's very interesting because the thing is, as Sakshi, it's like it's no thing there. That's why maybe Buddha's saying nothing, no thing. There's emptiness, meaning empty. It's not a thing. It's not that you are Atma, but it's not an object like other stuff. There's no other stuff. It's not. So I'm so used to identify as something, part of, there's many things, and I'm part of that, one of the things in there. But the thing is, have to empty of all that stuff, because otherwise it's some limited thing. And, you know, just I has nothing to do with any of these identifications. Just you say pure I am. But out of habit, we dive into and take on some form, something like this, right? So, and again, the worldly interaction, you can't do without. It's not possible to do anything without having some sort of role, some sort of part of it. It's not possible without that. But that's the worldly interaction, not the understanding, right? You play a game with the kids, you know it's a game, right? Then they start competing with it, and they take it seriously. They get a little bigger, and then some become professional competitors, and they do it for money, and they're getting angry when they're losing. They're very excited when they're winning. Right? The playing game becomes the samsara too, like this. But in this way, very interesting, and that's why we have to look into it so much. It's so subtle, because it's so subtle that not to identify anything, it takes quite something like this, but not that it's not possible, okay? So in this way, this is how we get caught up in these things, like this. One last point in this, after this verse like this, there's one other interesting thing then, is, and when I'm taking myself, I have some form, some limitation, then my God will also have to have that. Because if I'm a form, my God will have form. God is everywhere, then I get lost in that. Then where am I? The individual get lost, right? The individual will melt away. But I'm formful, I'm here in this, so the God has to be there. They're in this place, right? They're in this holy place, or in this form, and I'm here. The less, more I drop my form, the more that one will drop form too. So that's the whole idea of the worship. Start with the form and keep going more and more subtle. So slowly the form of the deity will go and your form will go too, like this. You know? Mutual, you know, melting away the forms. That's communion. You drop your idea of the form, then you drop the idea of your form and that form. So the more I don't have form, the more the deity doesn't have form. Okay, so you start with the form and then slowly drop it that way if you want, when you're doing the preliminary way like that. So the verse was saying like this, Agamat me manaha anyatra, my mind has gone elsewhere. Right. Interesting, my mind. This is a very good point. It says, my mind. Or you can say the mind. Later say the mind. Why the mind? But my mind, not me. My mind has gone elsewhere. Sampratam cha sthirikritam, and now it has become still. So my mind, the mind moves, the mind is still, not me, right? Evam, in this way, yaha veti dhivritim, the one who knows the thoughts of the mind. Here it said the transactions of the mind in the translation, which is one way you can say, but meaning vritti means a thought, the thought wave. So it is transactional, because that's what it is, but it's thought wave. So one who knows the thought waves of the mind like this, saha aham iha, saha aham iti avadharaya, that's what you are. You know, you have to ascertain this. You have to do reflect on this, do vichara, ascertain, know that this is what I am. So that's what this verse is pointing out, which all we discuss, a bit of an elaboration on it like that. So have some food for mananam for this week, okay? It takes at least, make a habit, at least a little bit of time every day. Sometime you can find some time. There's always some of the time you can do it. Like when I go for a walk, I try to go for a walk every day, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, good for the health. I will try to do some reflection on this. That's why I like to go for a walk alone when I do it. Otherwise, reflection's out the window. So you find certain times. And you can do any time, reflect on it. You're busy with something, you can't necessarily do. You're busy with something else. But you can find some times to do it, that's for sure. So let's finish here then. Om. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So these talks that I mentioned, this Swami, that's Swamiji coming in a week and a half, Swami Muktatmanandaji from the Shiva Dayananda Ashram in Pennsylvania. So he is going to talk very similar in Sakshi and Sarvatma Bhava, how you're one with everything. The more I know I'm Sakshi, more eventually I'm one with everything, because all the forms go away and I'm one with everything. So, you know, for Friday evening, and then 2 days, like 10 to 1, 9 to 1, 9 to 1 elaboration. This would be very useful. So,
Friday is
also in the day, I think.
Oh, it's in the day, not in the evening.
Friday is also.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Okay, so I'll miss that myself. Yeah. What to do? Yeah, I didn't notice.
Friday and then Saturday is in the morning.
I glossed over it because usually they do the Friday evening.
Right.
What to do?
Yeah.
No problem. So, you know, we miss and then go on Saturday. I'm sure what he'll do Saturday morning, he'll give a small recap because a lot of people will be there that weren't on Friday, and then he'll go into it. So I really recommend, you're in the Bay Area, I very recommend you come and hear it. The Swami, one thing about each one has their specialty with him. Again, I find he's very thorough. Sometimes so thorough, you know, what was last class? Half of this class will, again, but the thing is, what I found as a student at first, when that happens, the teacher comes and most of the classes revision what was the last time. At first I would, we just heard last time. But then, what a great mananam to hear and keep looking at it. So very thorough. That's one thing I can say about him like this. So I very much recommend. You know, it'll be on YouTube channel also. I'll, for those who are not around in the Bay Area, I'll send also what the YouTube channel is. So you can always see there. But those that are here, I very much recommend. Try to come and, you know, we're studying this when somebody like this, that their whole life is dedicated to this study and learning. The thing is, somebody can come and be teaching from a different angle. And the thing is, it's good to hear, but, you know, it's good to have a stable clarity about it first, studying some years from a certain angle. This is the same lineage, same way of place of learning Vedanta. It'll go along the same lines, so it won't have the seeming contradictions like that. That's what's very useful, so I very much recommend.
Guruji,
yes,
I have
please.
A question.
Please.
And this is a tactical question about Swami
Muktatmanandaji. Yeah.
Yes. So I do plan to attend on Saturday, but I want to listen to it via Zoom on Friday. Do you see a link anywhere in what you sent us?
No, there isn't a link there. There is the YouTube channel for Arshavidya Center here. What I'll do, I'll send everybody a link to that channel. So if somebody missed, they wanted to see or wanted to see live, they can do it from there. Because they should have it streamed live. I asked about that. Yeah,
okay.
So I'll send you the
link.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, good. Excellent.
Same.
Good. I'm very happy.
I enjoyed the last one on the Ashtavakra Gita.
Yeah.
For that. That was very good.
He's been teaching. He comes and teaches a little bit of that each time, the Swamiji. Very, also very nice. Yeah. Because again, these people, you know, each one will have a slight different character and way they speak in this. But again, this is what they're doing. They're looking into this.
Okay.